This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1369. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded July 31st, Voice of Indonesia and Asia Calling. Minivan back on shortwave for Maldives, and also Radio 6 from Scotland. Israel Broadcasting faces collapse, labor problems at Deutsche Welle, more persecution of RCTV in Venezuela, FM DXing the Caribbean, Delano definitely closing in 3 months, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Last week we mentioned that Radio New Zealand International had a new frequency, 9655, between 1059 and 1258 UT. Now we have another version of the new schedule via Wolfgang Büschel BCDX, which shows that some of the analog frequencies are running 50 kilowatts and others 100. We're not sure why. The new one, 9655, happens to be 100, and so is 7145 on the air between 1551 and 1850. But all the others are only 50 kilowatts. As for the simultaneous DRM transmissions, some of those are listed as 35 kilowatts, others as 70. And another follow-up to last week about Echo of Hope, clandestine from South to North Korea on its new frequency, 6003. S. Aoki and S. Hasegawa of the Nagoya DX Circle in Japan say the schedule is now on three frequencies at once, from 03 to 05 and 11 to 19 UT, 3985, 6003, and 6348. So you may hear a heterodyne even in Western North America against Havana on 6000 starting at 11 UT. Via DSWCI DX Window, John Wilkinson, Colorado, says of the three, only 6348 seems to be jammed. Why bother to jam only one of their three frequencies? Edward Kusilik in Alberta reports on another of the clandestines for North Korea, Furusato Nakazi, Wind of the Homeland, via Taiwan. He's been monitoring the 16 to 1630 UT broadcast on 9780. On July 15th, they signed on a minute late after some dead air, and it was in Japanese, mostly interviews and talks and a bit of music. Heard again on July 29th. They were on the air on time, starting at the top of the hour with 3+1 time pips. Again, the programming in Japanese with a bit of music interspersed. We also thought that the original plans for this were to broadcast it via the Yamada site within Japan, but it's actually via Taiwan. Kai Ludwig in Germany comments, leasing airtime abroad is an old approach to circumvent legal obstacles which otherwise would make it impossible to run a broadcasting operation. This time it appears to be a governmental body which has to resort to this approach. S. Aoki and S. Hasegawa of the Nagoya DX Circle also keep track of the Sound of Hope constant frequency changes and the much stronger Firedrake jamming from China, which follows them around. As of July 25th, Sound of Hope Network 2 was on 15,000 even and 16,500 when checked at 05 UT. There was no jamming on 15,000, but heavy interference from the Chinese time signal station. Can that be a coincidence? BPM. However, at 05:22 UT, the 15,000 kilohertz transmitter had moved to 18,180 and less than half an hour later was being interfered with by Firedrake. They checked again on July 27th at 0600, the Sound of Hope frequencies in use for 9200, 13970, 14900, at that time it had replaced 10300, 16520, but that had been on 16480 or 16500, and 18180. Another frequency was not audible at the time, 7300. On the Radio Escutas list, Rudolf Grimi in Brazil suggests another frequency where you may have better luck hearing the Sound of Hope, 9635, because this one is believed to be running 100 kilowatts, so it has a better chance against the jamming. He heard that at 2240 UT, although there was no definite ID. The Voice of Indonesia has three possible frequencies, but usually there are only on one of them at a time. However, we have a report that they were simultaneously on two frequencies, says Tariq Zaidan in Egypt, 9525 and 11785, for the Arabic broadcast at 1600 and Spanish at 1700. However, there was interference on 11785 from 1630 from NHK in French. 11860 is another high-power Indonesian transmitter used for the domestic service of RRI. We seldom hear it over here, but it is reported from Italy and elsewhere in Europe. I gather that's somewhat unusual because Luca Bottofiore in Genova was excited about getting it in the local morning at 0656 UT with a fair to very good signal. Also reported on the same date at 1210 by Zacharias Liangas in Greece. This transmission is listed as 250 kilowatts at 316 degrees, so that favors Europe, even though the nominal target area is only Indonesia. The frequency is available, but probably not in use, all the way from 2200 until 18 UT. The Jakarta Post reports on another source of news from Indonesia, a radio station with a strange name or call sign of KBR68H. On July 13th, they launched a website for the weekly radio program called Asia Calling. It's available both in English and in Indonesian. The program also airs on a large network of stations, mostly FM, on Fridays and Saturdays. But where does that name come from, KBR68H? Looking at their website, I see that KBR means Kantor Berita, something to do with news. And Alan Davies of AsiaWaves.net explains that the 68H is actually their address on Utankayu Street in Jakarta. So check their website for news of Indonesia and Asia, www.asiacalling.kbr68h.com. The reactivated Dan Sheedy in California has been listening to Radio Singapore International in English on 6080 and 6150. Starting at 1350 UT, as they were wrapping up their Newsline program. However, 6080 closed at 1400, while 6150 stayed on the air with weather, music, and international news and sports, a service of MediaCorp Radio. We thought this would probably happen, but when? The answer is now. The Media Network blog reports that Minivan Radio will resume shortwave broadcasts from 1 August. This Maldivian opposition station has only been available via Internet since it stopped shortwave 4 months ago in anticipation of winning an FM license, but it did not. It's been decided to resume shortwave in the run-up to a referendum in late August on whether Maldivians want a parliamentary or presidential system of government. Broadcasts will be daily at 16 to 17 UT, same time as before, but on a different frequency, 11965, via a transmitter in Germany. Jeff White, who brokers this on behalf of Radio Miami International, says it's a one-month deal for the month of August. They plan to end on August 31st, but who knows what may happen by then. DX Mix News in Bulgaria says the transmitter's site is Yulish, beamed due east, and of course it's mostly in the local Divehi language. On the WTFDA sound-off list, Republican Curtis Sadowski in Illinois compares Iran's Voice of Justice to Air America. Doug Smith and I say that's not really fair. However, they do have one thing in common, opposition to the illegitimate Bush regime. And if you check the IRIB website, you'll find a page with lots of anti-Bush material, much of it gathered from American sources. It's english.irib.ir/political/us.htm. Now in this URL, the letters U and S are in caps, and there's a dot after each letter. Via Alokesh Gupta in India, a story from the peninsula from Qatar, I believe that's what the name Qatar means, Radio Asia announces frequency change. That's Radio Asia AM, the first Malayalam radio station in the Gulf and the Middle East, is set to strengthen its frequency and reach by changing to 1269 AM starting August 11th. They never get around to mentioning in this story what their present and previous frequency is, but we know it's 1557. They also don't say whether a power increase is also involved. Possibly, the move is to free up 1557 for another IBB, that is, U.S. service in the Near and Middle East, suggests Wolfgang Büschel. They're already using several frequencies in the 1500s from Kuwait or the UAE. Steve Witt in the medium wave circle points out the station is running a countdown on their website. Looking at it, I see it's in English, although supposedly they don't broadcast in English. RadioAsiaUAE.com. As expected, Jean-Michel Aubier in France and Donny Rosenzweig report that starting July 29th, the English broadcast from Israel at 19 UT has been replaced by Russian. But we're wondering if some of the frequencies are still named at Western Europe and North America instead of Eastern Europe, 9400, 11590, and 15640. The Jerusalem Post website, July 30th, via BBC Monitoring, says IBA's threats that employees would not receive their July salaries came closer to reality when Chairman Moshe Gavish said at the weekly meeting of the management committee that there would be a delay in payments. License fee revenues have been coming in at a trickle, and the IBA's financial deficit makes it impossible to pay out salaries on the due date. He was hopeful salaries could be paid on 7 August, when last quarter license fee payments should arrive at the bank. Some IB employees have sought loans from the bank to tide them over until their salaries are deposited. Members of the management committee expressed doubts about there being sufficient funds to pay out salaries even by 7 August, and said this was a major sign of the impending collapse of the IBA. On July 24th, Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty reported that the Broadcasting Board of Governors expressed dismay at Armenian Public Radio's rejection of a new contract to continue carrying programs of RFERL's Armenian service. It had been aired on Armenian Public Radio since 1998. But they wasted no time in trying to make other arrangements. A day or two later, Itar Tass reported via BBC Monitoring and Media Network that U.S. representatives had concluded a preliminary agreement on rebroadcasting Radio Liberty by the private Yerevan FM radio station R Radio. That's AR. Then on July 26th, there was a story in the Armenian news site A1 Plus saying that RFERL had been granted an extended term until August 9th via public radio, while they were awaiting the finalization of the agreement with R Radio. Bertrut now, Lithuania, tells DX Listening Digest that Radio Ratsia, the service for Belarus, expanded its transmission times and now uses three shortwave frequencies, 6225 via Lithuania at 1530 to 1730, 6105 via Warsaw, Poland at 1930 to 22, and 6120 via Warsaw for another half hour until 2230. Power of each is 100 kilowatts, also on medium wave 612 via Vilnius at 06 to 07, and 666 via Sitkonai, Lithuania at 17 to 19, the last one being 500 kilowatts. Jean-Michel Aubier in France noted Vatican Radio running later than scheduled on 4005 kilohertz. They were in German at 2210, followed by English at 2230 and Esperanto at 2320, although the frequency is supposedly closing at 2210. Patrick Robich in Austria says he also heard the German program at 2210 on this unlisted frequency in the past. It may have something to do with their DRM service on 1530, keeping the non-DRM on for those who cannot receive it. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1369. Our website, www.worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week to Clayton Stapleton, who underwrites some of our internet expenses. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA. In the Ontario DX Association, Roger Chambers in New York recommends a program on Radio Exterior de España in English, American Chronicles. It's hosted by Justin Coe during Thursday's transmission and repeated on Saturdays. A very fine, though brief, program on various topics of mostly Latin American news. Not sure whether he's referring to local days or UT days, because it's the midnight to 01 UT broadcast, which this summer has stayed on 6055 instead of 15385. He says it's been much more reliable here in the east than on 19 meters, but I doubt it propagates very well to central or western North America. A nice compromise would be the 31-meter band, such as 9535, where they're very reliable in the evenings with programming in Spanish. REE's programs, though done with minimal staff, continue to provide a very interesting mix of news, press review, and features on Spanish culture, music, history, and society. This remains some of the more interesting and entertaining broadcasts available on shortwave and deserve to be more widely heard. Kai Ludwig translates some significant news about Deutsche Welle from the German magazine Radio Kurier. Editorial staff at DW laments a continuous loss in program quality. Many of its own productions were canceled. Working hours have been lengthened. The majority of the German radio program consists of ARD, that is domestic material, that is available free of charge. Many experienced announcers no longer work for DW after the news announcer shifts have been lengthened from 6 to more than 8 hours without raising the pay. Meanwhile, Deutsche Welle started to let interns, editors, and other untrained people read the news. It appears the resulting loss in presentation quality has been taken into account deliberately. A responsible person commented, "I got clear instructions, and it's a rational decision when freelancers are no longer willing to work under such conditions. I think I would have chosen to quit as well." More and more protests from listeners abroad come in. Internal planning indicates that DW will continue to save costs at the expense of program quality. Leading personnel of DW show no interest in the efforts made by programming staff to at least limit the resulting damage. An open letter from the announcers remained unanswered so far, only an accusation from a head of department that this would be mobbing has been withdrawn. Tony Curry tells us that effective August 11th, Scotland's only independent international broadcaster returns to shortwave, resuming its Saturday morning broadcast on 9290 via Latvia for Europe, the Far East, and Pacific regions. That'll be every Saturday between 07 and 08 UT 100 kilowatts, as well as on medium wave 945 in Riga. The shortwave and medium wave transmissions will continue until the end of September, when the situation will be reviewed. More at www.radiosix.com. From a radio camp in central Germany, Ike Biervoet reports that the voice of broad masses of Eritrea is back on 7100. They had been on 7090 for a while. Heard it 0410 UT, July 29th, with Horn of Africa music and talk. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal has been hearing what he thinks is that very distorted and wandering transmitter from Chad on 7260, July 27th, at 1402 to 1650, blocked by the Chinese music jammer at 17. He says a good signal, but huge distortion, so no actual ID. Also heard at 2110 on July 27th. That's the one we first heard around 7310 and later around 7290. If it's using 7260 also in the mornings around 0530, that would collide with Algeria via the UK. It's difficult for us in North America to hear SW Radio Africa, clandestine for Zimbabwe, but the other clandestine may be more likely. Dan Sheedy in California reports, Radio Voice of the People via Madagascar, until 0455 UT on 9765. Fair to good, with mostly English reports on civil rights violations and the elections in Zimbabwe. The transmission starts at 0400. And since it's transmitted from Madagascar towards Zimbabwe, I think it carries on more or less in our direction from the opposite side of the world. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal reports on the transmitter of Bata Equatorial Guinea on 5005. He was monitoring July 26th at 2048 and found the audio to be nil or extremely weak and distorted, despite a very strong signal. David Norcross in Hawaii reports RTV du Mali 5995. July 23rd at 0630 UT, he says he hears it every evening in Hawaii. Best on the lower sideband to avoid Havana on 6000, but in the clear after 0700 when Havana goes off. Not sure if it fades out before 08 or just signs off, but it lasts quite a while after sunrise in Mali. disappearing into the hash one evening around 0714. Great music listening. On July 30th, Francesco Cecconi posted on his blog in Italy a news story about a fire having destroyed the school at Esperanza Base in Antarctica. Not positive the date of the story itself, but assuming it's current, could this affect LRA 36? It seems the population of the entire base is only 62 people, so there probably are not very many buildings, and the station might have been in the school. Well, I asked our monitors to check it out quickly, and Steve Lehr in Michigan says he was hearing a very weak signal on their distinctive frequency, 15476, July 31st at 1925. A war of words, mostly in Spanish, continues to fly, even in the pages of DX Listening Digest, between proponents and opponents of Chavez in Venezuela over the Radio Caracas Televisión affair. We also have some stories about it from elsewhere, some of that in English. KimAndrewElliott.com had this on his blog. Venezuela's Telecommunications Commission says the private TV channel, RCTV, must continue to follow Venezuelan media regulation, even though its new headquarters are in Miami. The nation's oldest private channel came back on the air via cable and satellite after going off the national airwaves, notably Channel 2 at the end of May, when its broadcast license expired. After the Chavez government denied the channel a renewal to broadcast on VHF, RCTV came back as RCTV International on cable and satellite subscription TV. Since then, the channel has claimed it does not have to comply with mandatory government public service messages, notably the incessant speeches by Chavez himself, or play the national anthem twice daily, as required of all national broadcasters. This appeared in the website VenezuelanAnalysis.com. Commander Elliott says the government of Venezuela can probably force RCTV off cable systems in that country. Can it stop reception of RCTV via DirecTV Latin America? There are old international laws, some places observed, some not, that target country consent is required for satellite broadcasts. It remains to be seen how DirecTV Latin America will respond to this situation. This is the essential problem of international broadcasting, how to get content into a country whose government does not want its people to receive that content. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain found a lengthy PDF document or white paper enumerating all the charges against RCTV. It's on the website of Radio Nacional de Venezuela, www.rnv.gov.ve. Seems obvious to me that Chavez will stop at nothing to try to silence the opposition voice of RCTV. There's also a lengthy story about this in the Wall Street Journal of July 31st. Look it up if you can. Thanks to Mike Cooper for sending that to us. There was a tremendous sporadic opening on Sunday, July 29th, over eastern North America and also extending into the Caribbean, or rather from the Caribbean into Tennessee. For example, Doug Smith near Nashville logged a number of stations in the Cayman Islands, the Bahamas, and other countries. The Cayman stations on 89.9 Radio Cayman, on 99.9 Z99, or do they say Z99? 107.1, it's called X107. 104.1 is Hot 104. And on 101.9, Rooster 101. I suppose you might mistake these for domestic stations if you didn't know better. Each of these now has a call sign starting with ZF, says Jim Thomas in Colorado. Be careful on 101.9 because there's also a new station in the Bahamas on that frequency, which Doug Smith heard. It's called Joy FM. Further east in Lexington, Kentucky, Gerard Westerberg pulled in the Turks and Caicos Islands, power 92.5. Or is it just power 92? Anyhow, the frequency is 92.5, one of several stations built by Bob Cooper during his stay on Provo in the Turks and Caicos many years ago. Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla in Mexico City keeps up with the comings and goings of XEYU at the university on 9599.2. He says it went off the air the evening of July 23rd due to a technical problem, but hope to be back on within a week. And XEXQ, the station at the university in San Luis Potosí, had been missing for several months, but he was hearing it again starting July 29th in the daytime, although very weak, at 15 UT on 6045. Previously, it had been operating 24 hours, so there's a chance for the rest of us to hear this low-power station of 250 watts. I tried on July 30th at 12:40, and there was a fairly good carrier there, but I could not pull any audio. It's been rumored for some time that the IBB shortwave station in Delano, California, was about to be closed down, and now that's official. A memo to IBB staff dated July 25th says, as a result of changing global mission, Delano station will be closed at the end of October this year. We've little choice but to downsize and realign the transmission network as operating budgets decrease. AFGE Local 1812, of course, looks at it from the point of view of the workers. In its continuing assault against the VOA, the Broadcasting Board of Governors announced the closure of Delano, scheduled for October 30th. Employees then will be riffed as a result of the manufactured lack of work. The plan would have the employees on the payroll only through January 5th, 2008. As Dragan Lekic in Serbia points out, there are only a few broadcasts remaining still on the air from Delano, including the Radio Thailand English Relay at 0230 on 5890, and Special English weekdays at 0130 on 13740. The rest is in Spanish from VOA or Radio Marti, and Creole from VOA at 21 on 21555. But could Delano ever be reactivated? Radio World reported on this via Zacharias Liangas. They told RW that Delano will remain in cold storage standby status. We will redistribute viable equipment to the rest of the IBB network. Could the following have anything to do with it? John Vodnik, one of the workers who will be losing his job at Delano, found a story at oilandgasonline.com that California's largest natural gas field may be lying under and by the city of Delano, according to the Tri-Valley Oil and Gas Company. And the story mentions that Tri-Valley has at least 800 acres of federal land nearby, including 1 square mile owned by Voice of America. This may be news to us, but it's not really news. This story was originally published on April 16, 2001. I happened to go to the highadventure.org website and found a notice that their founder, George K. Otis Sr., had died on July 22nd. He was founder of the Voice of Hope radio network, including shortwave stations, KVOH in California. However, that's now owned or at least operated by something else, Voz de Restauración. The AM companion of WBCQ has changed frequency and call letters. According to the American Bandscan blog, WREM 710 has become WCXH 780, and now on the new frequency, it can stay on the air at night, but with only 60 watts. Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has a vacancy for President and Chief Executive Officer. Deadline for applications, August 13th. Saul Chernos in Ontario says the new Greek station in Toronto is on the air, CHTO 1690. Dean McIntyre says CKPR 580 Thunder Bay will go silent August 3rd. They moved a few months ago to FM. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued July 31st. ANKNC is peaking at 20 and 5 on August 7th and 10th. Solar flux peaking at 75 August 8th to 12th and dipping to 65 August 16th to 20th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1369.